If you would turn in your hymnals to 357, Christ Arose. Why don't we arise? Stand if you can. 357.
No. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, sing now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Would you please turn with me to 368, He Lives. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. Appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Received my sight, and now I am happy all
Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin.
Thus might I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart roll away. And now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart
rolled away.
It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart
rolled away.
It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the
to walk in it nevermore.
For my Lord says come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home,
leads home.
The way of the cross leads home,
leads home.
It is sweet to know, as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know, as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Okay, well, would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Again, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. We thank you for the blessing that we've received through song, through prayer, through your word, through fellowship. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit would teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, first, I want you to do help me do the scripture reading. And you, hopefully everybody has a sheet. And if you could read that together with me. It's kind of a lengthy text. And I just wasn't really a lot of way around it because it builds so much of the background and really the whole chapter. But if you'd start with me there, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 58 in the New American Standard Version on this sheet. So joining me, please. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? You fool. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so are all those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you. It was the pandemic of all pandemics, a disease that spread death to everyone on the planet, a disease affecting every man, woman, and child, regardless of age, race, nationality, geography, or social standing. Death now reigns. This Pandora's box of death and destruction was released thousands of years ago by a man, Adam, and a woman, Eve, eating some fruit from a tree in a beautiful garden. But it was not the fruit that was diseased, but the heart of the man and the heart of the woman as they ate what God had forbidden. Sin had now entered their world, our world. And since that time, sin and death have won again and again. Your loved ones have died. Blame sin. The recent spewing of hatred with the bombing in Brussels. Blame sin. Contention and bitterness and disappointment. Physical and mental and emotional harm. Blame sin. Every sadness and every heartache that has ever occurred, blame sin and its death hold over humanity. But one day, at some point in the future, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe 50 years from now, one day in the blink of an eye, in a split second, death will be swallowed up in victory, destroyed forever, utterly vanquished, defeated, conquered, crushed, overcome, overpowered, routed, overwhelmed, trampled. This victory, this day, is the resurrection day of the saints of God. Eugene Peterson puts it this way in the Message in 1 Corinthians 15:52. You hear a blast to end all blasts from a trumpet. And in the time that you look up, and blink your eyes, it's over. On signal from that trumpet from heaven, the dead will be up and out of their graves, beyond the reach of death, never to die again. At the same moment and in the same way, we'll all be changed. Would you turn in your Bibles with me, if you haven't already, to 1 Corinthians 13, 15, and verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. And it tells us there that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you do this, somebody cooperate with me. Okay, guys, I didn't see anybody. Okay, that's flesh and blood. This body won't enter the kingdom of heaven. See, that's all those verses that we read from verses 35 through 49. It's telling us these things. It said, well, how are the dead raised? With what kind of a body do they come? Well, I could have asked Steve Sowers or Chuck or one of our farmers to bring in a piece of seed corn. But you wouldn't put that in the ground and expect just a big kernel of corn to grow, would you? The plant is different, right? Now, it does give us that example here in this text, in this chapter 15. It gives us that example, I think it's John 12 also, that things are going to be different. There are things of the earth and there are things of the heaven. And you'll see where it talked about of the earth, where we followed Adam. That means that we were born as a human on this planet, that we followed Adam in that, so we're of the earth. We are earthy. But now there's something different for those who have trusted in Christ and believed in him for the forgiveness of sins, for redemption. Now that person also has the image of the man from heaven, who is Jesus Christ. And so one day we'll have that image. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We have to be changed. We have to be changed. Verse 46, it tells us but it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. So our lives were first natural. We are flesh and blood. See, there's going to be, we come here today and we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, but we're also celebrating our resurrection as the saints of God, as those who have trusted in Christ. Call us Christians, call us believers, whatever terminology you want to use, but it's those who have looked to God for salvation. But Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 tells us there are two resurrections. Basically, there's those who are going to be raised to judgment and those who are going to be raised to life. And what this is speaking of here in 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about that resurrection of those who are going to be raised to life because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. See, we trudge on in this world and we plod and we move along. And this life can be very difficult. It can be tragic. It can be filled with sadness. But God has done something about that. And as our text said, one day is in the blink of an eye. It's going to be like, it could be a moment from now, in the blink of an eye. And so, but this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. We shall all be changed in an instant when we are raised. In verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. Well, let me just start in verse 50 again. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, there will be a generation on this earth who will not, when it's speaking of here too, speaking of sleep, is speaking of death. Okay, that we will not, that we will not, everyone will not die. There will be a generation that when this trumpet sounds, there will be a generation still living on the planet that will be caught up. We call that the rapture. That could be our generation. It could be 50 years from now. We don't know. A lot of people have tried to guess God's timetable, and that's not a good thing to do. But what we do is we live in anticipation of that. And we should live in joyful anticipation of seeing God, not in a fearful expectation. Because if you've looked to Christ, now if you haven't looked to Christ, you should be very fearful. You should be terrified. But if you've looked to Christ, that his love removes our fear. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We have great opportunity to serve him. We'll get to that in a little bit in that the very last verse of today's text. But there will be a generation and we'll be caught up to be with the Lord. But everyone will experience in one way or another a resurrection. Like I say in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, if you want to mark that down, you can refer to it later or you can look at it now while I'm preaching and I won't know the difference. But there will be those raised to judgment, because basically two categories, those raised to judgment and those raised to life with God forever. Now see, that's the one that's possible because of the resurrection that we're celebrating today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, and that it goes back to verse 1 of chapter 15 of our text, 1 Corinthians. Paul writes in 15:1 of 1 Corinthians, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance. This is the most important. This is at the top of the list. What I also received, that I delivered to you as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our what? Sins. He didn't die for our bad feelings, did he? He didn't die for our disgruntled emotions. He didn't die for our poor self-image. See, he died for our sins. And we're going to see something a little bit later in this victory over that, why this is necessary to understand what Jesus Christ died for and how necessary it was and how damaging it is and how we end up with a different gospel if we take sin out of the equation. See, sin is the reason the Son of God had to come to this earth to make a payment for sin. When we take sin out of the equation, when we define it some other way than as God defines it, when we tweak it and we move it around and we come up with something different because we don't want to feel bad about ourselves, then we have lost the truth of God. We have lost the gospel. And you know what else happens? We won't be saved. Because for us to be saved, for this grand and glorious moment, to be a part of this in the blink of an eye when the trumpet sounds, your sin has to be dealt with. Not your hurt feelings, not your emotions, not your poor self-image. Your sin has to be dealt with. That's the message of the Bible. We change that message, but we change it to our detriment. And some change it to their damnation. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised. You know, there's various theories that the swoon theory is one of them, that Jesus didn't really die. Because, see, we can't accept the supernatural answer. We can't accept what God told us, that Jesus was dead, he needed to die for our sins, he laid in the tomb for 3 days, and he was raised on the third day. We can't accept that because those people, they undermined the authority of the Word of God. And so we've got to come up with some reason. And so one of those reasons, they said he just swooned. He just swooned. And he was there, I don't feel well. And then he passed out for a while, except for things like his stomach was cut open and the blood and the water gushed out. And he was judged dead by experts. Roman soldiers were experts in, there's all kinds of, the whole thing it's all kinds of nonsense gets thrown. But it started at the very beginning when the soldiers went back to the religious leaders and they told them what happened of the tomb, the stone being rolled away and the tomb being empty. And the religious leaders told them, said, "We will pay you well. We'll cover for you of any higher ups." He said, "But tell them this." He said, "Just tell them this." Does that sound familiar? "But spin it this way. We'll cover you." And it's been going on since that very time. So you can spin it, and we can come up with an answer that fits better our philosophy of life, that fits better our perspective on this world, that fits better whatever direction we're coming from, but it won't save. When that trumpet sounds in that blink of an eye, and is that instant, and man, we will know what it is. We'll say, "Huh?" And, "Oh, wow, this is what God's been telling me about all these years." But if you go the other direction, if you've just got a good story that to rationalize your rebellion against God, you will be resurrected, but it will not be to life, but it will be to eternal damnation. He was buried, he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive. And he not only was risen, there were all kinds of people that saw him. And, you know, people don't realize, but the way that you verify any historical document is the same proofs that can be put to Scripture, and it stands farther than head and shoulders above any ancient document. We have all our reasons to try to disbelieve the Bible, but they're not valid. If you want to know God, if you pursue him with your heart, soul, and mind, we will see these things. So we can inherit with flesh and blood. We shall be changed in an instant when we are raised. So I want us just to think about that for just a couple of minutes and what that is like, because we have our pictures in our minds, what heaven's going to be like. And we really, the Bible says a bit about heaven, but we really don't know that much apart from those things. We fill in a lot of the blanks. But take this the right way now, but we won't look like this, thankfully. We won't, this cold thing that's been going around forever, we won't be dealing with that. It's going to be what God has created for you, a heavenly spiritual body. It will be a literal body. We're not just detached spirits. But we, a lot of times in our minds, we kind of see ourselves as this is how we look, and we're going. It's going to be so different, folks. And it's there in the Bible if we hear it. And in that instant, the trumpet sound and caught up, and it's all going to come together. And this would be what we call theologically our glorification. See, we're justification. We're made right with God. Sanctification, that's where he's you know, we have the children's song, he's still working on me. Well, he is, and he'll be working on us. And we let God continue to change us and transform us. We have Romans 12:2, transformed by the renewing of our minds. All that is sanctification, that process, God's building project. He's a craftsman. He's crafting in your life. Hang on to that concept that you, every single one of us, God takes as a treasure. You've come to Jesus Christ, received redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now you are a treasure of God. Just picture if you had some work, you had some woodwork to be done, and you knew a guy, and he was known across the United States as like the top of the field. I mean, this is a person, he is so good. And he said, How about if I help you with your project? You need to. How about if I help and work with you on your wood project? Well, this is the God of the universe, Creator, Redeemer. He's taking you. He's taking me, and he is going to craft this person that is described. This different, not the earthy anymore, not this. This person, and it's all going to happen. The transformation, that trumpet's going to sound in an instant, and it's just all going to come together. That's our glorification. And we will no more deal, well, we're going to see where we won't deal with sin. In this instant, thirdly, in this instant of transformation, death is swallowed up in victory. And you know something kind of unusual in this verse here in the English translations is there's agreement. I don't think you probably have a Bible that doesn't say in verse, I'll find it here in a little bit. Yeah, verse 54. Death is swallowed up in victory. I think everyone, I checked King James, New American Standard, NIV, ESV, New Living, New Century, and they all have swallowed up in victory. Isaiah actually prophesies this. And it's not just winning over, it's just picture that death. Death doesn't have a chance. It would be like one of our high school teams. It would be even more than that, but to give somewhat of an idea, one of our high school teams playing one of these Final Four teams in basketball. Death is swallowed up in victory. See, these are all of the things that are brought to us through Jesus Christ, through this connection we have with God through Jesus Christ. But it tells us... Well, I'm going to go back to verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Imperishable, that means no more bodies falling apart. That means we've taken on immortality. That means this body that God has crafted for us, we are going to be these beautiful, supernatural, powerful beings. I know that can sound... it's like, well, Dave, where are you getting this from? Well, I'm getting it from the Bible. It's what the Bible says. It's what God does. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. We have a lot of tales and legends over the years, and you can see some good movies or some good books written about the pursuit of immortality and the Holy Grail, and if you find it and drink from it, you'll live forever. Well, here's how you live forever. You believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and receive his gift of eternal life. When the perishable puts on imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. See, back again, we looked at the first of the chapter, that the importance of understanding, properly understanding sin's part in life on this planet, the damage that's been done, the death that has been brought to everyone on the planet, spiritual death through sin, and ultimate physical death through sin. Sin has to be dealt with. We can't call it other names to make ourselves feel better. This victory is over sin. If you want the fear of death taken out, if you want the sting of death taken out, you have to deal with sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this victory is what we're celebrating today, victory on the cross, when he died and he was buried and he rose again the third day. And this Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, and he's coming again. And when he comes again, that's when we hear that trumpet call. That is the victory. And this is the victory, John writes, the Apostle John writes in 1 John, and this is the victory, even our what? Our faith. And this is the victory, even our faith, that we believe God. We believe God above all others. No other philosophy, no other religion, no other psychological or sociological trend. You can choose to believe those. God allows you that freedom. But you will never have the end result that you truly desire. And you will never have the end result of being embraced by the Creator and Redeemer of the universe. So Paul brings this to therefore in verse 58. Therefore, my brothers, and we could say sisters, be steadfast, immovable. God's word translation says something like, don't be moved off your foundation. Don't be moved. What's our foundation? Our foundation is the gospel as Paul received it, as he delivered it to us. A lot of religions, even Christian religions, even Christian denominations, would move you off of that foundation. They would remove the necessity of the sin problem. And you can have, if you have enough people saying the same thing, we can convince each other that that's good and it's right and it's true. But it doesn't matter if it's not good and right and true before God of the universe, God Most High, High King Jesus. It doesn't matter what everybody else says if it doesn't agree. If you want to agree, if in that great moment before God, you want to be in agreement with him and fully welcomed into his kingdom, we have to deal with the sin problem as sin, as God speaks of sin, as he defines it. But he tells us, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Keep going, saints. We keep going. It, we've got a year of potential turmoil ahead of us, don't us, with the politics and who's going to get bombed next. And we have people, if there was a holy God, he wouldn't allow this. Well, no, God's not the one. The sin, blame sin. Put it, identify the source of all these travails. God's done something about it. So many of those protests are just trying to fend off the truth that they know is in their heart, that they see as they look around them, the attributes of God. We carry on. It's interesting. Have you heard the expression, this nautical expression, steady as she goes? This will be pretty hokey, but let me give it a try. Steady as she goes, mate. Okay, have you heard that? Steady as she goes. It's very interesting. Steady as she goes is a nautical term. A cry to a helmsman to keep on the current course. A cry to the helmsman. Stay the course. Steady as she goes, mate. And Paul writes, therefore, my beloved brothers, see, we've got the right stuff. It's not our stuff. See, this should be great encouragement to you as we share the gospel with the people around us. They'll say, well, that's what you believe. This is what I believe. And I say, well, where do you get what you believe? Where do you get that from? Well, I get it from in here. This is what I know is true. And I say, well, I don't get mine from in here. I have objective proof. I can go to this book, this well-documented historical book. I said, these ideas aren't mine. They're completely outside of me. I take great assurance in that because I know the mess I would make of things. I know the mess I would make of things. And so when we're steady and we're immovable, we don't let anyone move you off your foundation. If you can be ridiculed, we looked at last week, didn't we? They can call you narrow. Say, well, I guess if you're talking about the narrow gate and the narrow way that the Lord Jesus is speaking of, yeah, you've got me. I say, oh, and I've told you before, I said, I was visiting with a young couple, and they said, oh, you're one of those that believe Jesus is the only way of heaven, only way to heaven. Yeah, not my idea, though. I'd be open to other ideas. I mean, I'm just a human. I could entertain other thoughts, but I believe God's word. God's done a transforming work in my life. And he says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, is what Christ said. Steady as she goes, keep on the current course, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that tells us that we can abound. We can be abundant in our service. We don't have to go around with our heads down and sniveling at our nose and poor us little Christians. No, we are the people of God. And one day that trumpet will sound. And in the blink of an eye, in a split second, it'll all come true. Now, if you're a believer, that's going to come true. But here's what you don't want. Boy, if I only just really believed that, I would have done so much more, Lord. Well, you got the chance right now to do more. You got the chance right now to believe God, to be steadfast, to be immovable, to abound in the work of God, in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. If you don't know Jesus Christ, and you're here today, today's the day. The Bible tells us now's the time, today's the day. Don't put it off. We'll think, well, that's good, something to think about. I'll think about that. Well, that moment can come and go. It's like ripples on a pond. You throw a lake. Yeah, that'd be good. You throw a rock in the lake, and the ripples, and the water's disturbed, and you can come in and you can hear a message, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the water's in our mind, our soul, there's a spiritual turbulence. But you know from past experience, if you just hang on, those ripples will flatten out. And we can go back to where we were, but you can. That's how that works. But when that trumpet sounds, when you're part of that other resurrection, that plan wasn't so great. Wasn't so great. To those who are believers, though, just picture that in an instant. Trumpet, huh? There we are. It just all happens just like that. And it's the beauty and the glory and the power. So what are we doing in view of that? Not to earn that, not so God will accept us. He's done all that through the cross at Calvary. But that we can pour out our love and devotion. And our hearts can be filled, absolutely filled and overflowing with joy when we're before God. Because we know we at least got some things right in living for him on this dark planet. So closing words for today. Steady as she goes, mate. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I think you've spoken to us today. And if there is anyone here, Lord, that needs to come to you, we pray that that would happen, that they would give in to the beckoning of the Holy Spirit and trust in you this moment, this hour. Now is the time. Father, if many of us here are believers, that you would, as we look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we know that our work for you is not in vain, and so that we would want to abound in that work. And I pray that you would stir that in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing 755. Before the ladies are going to play all the way through that because it's a familiar song that we've all heard someone else sing, but we haven't sung it a lot ourselves, so they're going to play through. But before they do that, would you close your eyes and bow your heads? And I'd just like to give you an opportunity to raise your hand, and I would pray for you if you've got some spiritual turbulence. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? And if there's spiritual turbulence going on, if you need to know Christ and you're not sure, would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. And I'd love to talk to you if you want to do that. Grab me anytime, phone, text, email, stop by the house. But is there anyone who would like for me to pray for you? You haven't come to Christ, and it's really bearing on your mind this morning. Is there anyone here in spiritual turbulence that we're not before God as we should be? You believe Jesus, but life's just not where it should be, and you want to be ready for this wonderful moment, this trumpet sound, this blink of the eye, split second happening. If you raise your hand, I would pray for you. Family of God.